Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Maybe. Am I?
Saturday night.
I don't know.
For the last 3 cents she decided it was.
Hey guys. Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and neighbors.
The beer takes her right where she wants to be.
A little me. A little me, a little song called Whiskey Leads Her to Me. And whiskey's a good topic right now. It's a good topic right now. This is actually not what's in the Sonic Cup right here. So I just landed a couple hours ago, drove to the house. I've been in Tampa. Glorious Tampa, Florida for TH Marine at our biggest boat builder show of the year, where all the boat manufacturers in the United States gather in one place to come by and check out your booth and whatnot. And we had a 20 by 20 booth there and got to see everybody, you know, everybody that's anybody. They're there. And it was good seeing everybody. And last night, that old whiskey, that old brown liquor, caused me a little bit of a slowdown. Went out with some friends, had a good dinner in Tampa, Florida last night, but glad to be home back in Middle Tennessee. Hadn't seen the Triple Threat or the kiddos in a few days, so I'm glad to be here. And if you do keep up with anything that I have going on in life, and you're a person that enjoys this fine podcast right here on the Luke Duncan's Traveling Circus YouTube channel, or if you consume it any other way listening to it, you'll notice no podcast last week, and I'd been getting really consistent, and I promised you consistency, but let you down last week. But it wasn't my fault. My voice, absolutely about, and you can tell it's not 100%. I still sound like Kermit the Frog, but last week just went out. It went out, and I had to do some moving and shaking and some talking down here in Tampa, Florida during the show. So I had to kind of go on a vocal rest, which is hard for me because as much as I love to run my mouth. So I had to do that, and so no low budget last week. I apologize. Not a lot going on in the bass fishing world right now as far as I'm concerned. It's all kind of bleh at this point. Seasons are winding down, but as of this week, everything's kind of in the dirt. Everything's taking a nap, but the freaking Angler of the Year championship for bass. I just want to do this. Hats off to you guys, because as an organization, and hats off to all the bros fishing that thing. Man, that was a cool event. And it was Sunday to Tuesday, and man, congrats to Seth Fighter. He freaking wrecked him. Wrecked him. And congrats to Stetson Blaylock, man. He gave AOI a hell of a run, and so did Chris Zaldane, dude. It's hard to imagine a guy gets that many second places in a season and doesn't win Angler of the Year, but Canterbury, you know, of course, won it. Congrats to Scott. Fished against Scott on the tour for a long time, and fished against him in BFLs way back, and I fished against Scott in team tournaments, and Scott is he's one of the best anglers that I've ever been around, and it's, you know, obviously it's shown over his professional fishing career. So well-deserved. Very cool to see an FLW guy go over there and kick a little butt, you know, take some names. It's interesting. So an FLW, former FLW guy goes over there. Second place, former FLW Tour guy, Stetson Blaylock. Third place, Corey Johnson, former FLW Tour guy. I think that's how it wound up. I think that's how it shook out. Let's see. I do no research on this. Let me look. I thought Corey... Maybe Corey's fourth. Maybe Corey was fourth. Hang on a second. Let's look that up. So a buddy of mine texted me and said that Corey missed out. He lost a tiebreaker. Maybe he finished fourth. No, Corey was third. Zaldane was fourth. Fighter ended up fifth. Brandon Lester, another Middle Tennessee boy, finished just right there in sixth. Drew Cook, who got a hell of a year. Shane LaHue, another FLW guy that made the jump over. Drew Benton, another FLW guy that made the jump over a few years ago. And Matt Airy, my buddy Matt Airy. Let's talk fish, Matt Airy. 10th place. So out of the top 10, you got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Call it 6 former FLW Tour standouts over there on the Bassmaster Elite Series that got invited last year once. The BPT raped and pillaged. They got an invite and they did well. They represented, so that's cool. Congrats to those guys. But congrats to Bass on an amazing event. Live was awesome. Those guys always do a really good job of live, but live was awesome. Really, really enjoyable to watch. And you know, good luck to Fighter. Fighter said he was going to go home in the off season and get his wife pregnant on stage. I love Seth Fighter. Seth is he is a genuine dude, a good dude. There's a lot of good people from that part of the world. And I hope to showcase that on the Traveling Circus. Little plug here on the first episode for next year, 2020. We filmed up in Minnesota. And, man, there's some good dang people up there. But Seth is one of them for sure. And he's an amazing smallmouth fisherman, amazing fisherman, period. So very cool. It's the second time he's won that AOI championship in smallmouth world. So they should learn not to take it there. They don't want their mustachioed mullet man to win. But good for Seth. But everybody likes catching big smallmouth. I wonder, you can comment below if you kept up with it like I did. I was really glued to it. You know, especially Sunday, I was traveling, so I got to watch a lot of it. But then I found myself that Angler of the Year race was so tight coming into Tuesday that I was working and I was at this trade show, so I couldn't, you know, watch live. But I did, the booth cleared out a little bit, and I did get to watch Canterbury weigh in and win AOI. Because I actually, looking at Bass Track all day, I thought Stetson was going to win. Stetson and I go way back, and I really thought Stetson was going to pull the dang thing off. I drew Stetson. I may have told this on here 50 times, and if I have, I'll probably tell it 50 more. But I drew Stetson. I was fishing the Everstarts, what are now the Costas. Who knows what they're going to be next year, but the Costa Series. But they used to be the Everstarts, you know, operated by FLW. And we had a tournament at Santee Cooper one time, and I was 21 years old, and I drew out with – I was fishing the boater side, pro side, whatever you want to call it. I was definitely not a pro, but – boater side, and I drew out with a 16-year-old Stetson Blaylock as a co-angler. So we had a really terrible day, but so I've known Stetson a lot of years, and him and his wife Lindsay and their two kids they're great people, and he's on the TH Marine team, so big shout out to him. I know how y'all love shout outs, but Stetson's a good guy, and we're on the Garmin team together, and think a lot of him. So I really thought, looking at Bass Track, and I'm terrible at math, so I'm like, oh man, I think Stetson's got this thing. But Canterbury ends up sliding in there, catching him good that last day, and I think he changed water a little bit and got in there. So He won it. So huge congrats to Scott Canterbury. I refuse to say Hammerberry because I think that's just silly. But that was the nickname bestowed upon him by FLW, my FLW brethren. But a lot of FLW guys going over there. Will there be more? Will there be more? I don't know. A lot of chatter out there about what's going to happen next year with the Elite Series. I do feel like they'll open it up. You know, they already announced their plans for the Bassmaster Opens next year. And let me pull that up. I had it saved because I wanted to talk about it. And I actually had an Instagram message from Mr. KC Tellis about this subject, wanting to know my opinions on it. So let me pull it up here. Bassmaster Opens, Bassmaster released their schedule for the Opens. They released their entry fees and everything. So let me see if I can pull this up here real quick. Like, please hold. I'm scatterbrained like always. There we go. So there will actually be 12 elite berths given away. So they're trying to build that field back up. So will they do it naturally? Will they let some guys come over from FLW again? Will they let some guys come back from that BPT? What? I don't know. Are there guys that won out of the BPT? I thought it was the Land of Roses. We'll see. We will see. So, first of all, I'm not... top 4 points finishers in each division will get a bid. I think it was the top five this year, but the top four in each division, so from the Eastern Division and the Central Division, which I'm going to talk about momentarily, they get a bid, so no top five. But then, because you have so many guys that put in the blood, sweat, and the tears that fish, all of them that are very loyal to Bass, fish eight events, so two divisions of the Opens, they're going to give a cumulative points average. They're going to take the top four from that. So, which I agree with. You know, like my little buddy Sam George has fished all of them forever, and there's so many years he would have made it on that by a mile. He would have probably been AOI a few times if you combined all the finishes, you know. Very hard to do competing across the country. But so here's the schedule, and you probably all have seen it, and drop a comment below and tell me to shut up. I don't know, but I missed last week, and this was some bass fishing knowledge that got dropped last week in the middle of everything. So the Eastern Division goes Kissimmee in Florida in January, which, whatever. In May, they're going to, so they take a 5-month break just about, and they go to Cherokee Lake over in East Tennessee, where we fished on the FLW Tour this year. Oneida Lake in August, which everybody loves going up north, smallmouth fishing. Then they come back to Lake Hartwell in South Carolina in September, one of my favorite places I've ever been. I love Lake Hartwell, love the people over there. Great venue for a tournament over there, Green Pond Landing. But that's going to be a toughie. That's going to be a tough time of year. That's going to be a tricky one. Not a terrible schedule. Not a terrible schedule. I get sick of everything always having to go to Kissimmee or Okeechobee. You know, they have several more months of the year. They're starting super early, and they could fish in March. But I don't know logistically why tournament trails do that. They know because that's what they do for a living, and it would be mom's basement of me to say otherwise. But the Central Division is where it gets wonky for me. It's a garbage schedule, in my opinion, and I've seen a lot of flack online. But they start in April, Lewisville Lake, Lewisville, Texas, which is an absolute train wreck in Texas of a lake, for the most part, from what I know about it. And what good friends of mine that I really trust down there in Texas, Todd Castledine, Russell Cecil, they've had Bassmaster Opens there before. That place is bad. It's bad. And it doesn't handle those big fields well. So they'll probably have 200 boats there. Then they go to Neely Henry in Gaston, Alabama, which is one of my favorite lakes, in May. That'll be a tough event. It'll be a good event. Ton of fish caught that place on the Coosa River. It's full of them, but it can fish small. It's a really big lake. It's a narrow lake, but it's a really long lake. It's a river, and really, you know, river system, and it gets kind of spotty, you know. It's with that many boats, it can get tricky because a lot of skinny water. If you're going behind guys, you could get screwed over pretty easy with some of the shallow grass and things like that. But Neely Henry, but let's think about this. This is the Central Division. They're coming over to Alabama, but the Eastern Division doesn't go to Alabama. Kind of weird. In June, they're going to the Arkansas River, Muskogee, Oklahoma. Those Arkansas River tournaments are not – I don't enjoy watching them. I've never competed in one there, so I can't say, but I don't enjoy watching them because it's always just who has the coolest aluminum boat and can go somewhere that other people can't, and they win, and everybody tears their crap up there. So I don't ever enjoy watching those there, but they have good crowds at weigh-ins, I believe. But then in September, they're going to Sam Rayburn. And that'll be a tough one, too. Rayburn's full of them. That'll be a tough one. I'd rather see Rayburn in the spring. But interesting schedule, to say the least. It is very central United States, except for Neely Henry in Alabama. And they've done that one or two times. But the payout, so the payout says it will be $250,000 per event. So my thing with the Opens, I do not think they pay very well for what you pay in. The Pro Angler Division went up, and I believe it was $1,500 this year, so I think it's going up for $300. And this was what for the first time since 2013, you'll see an increase, $1,800 per event. I got a question from my buddy KC about this. Want me to talk about it on here? And here's my honest to goodness opinion. It's my honest goodness. And my voice still sucks. It keeps going out. But they can charge whatever they want. They can charge whatever they want. And they always fill up. Guys want to fish. Guys want to fish the Bassmaster Classic. And guys want to go to the Elite Series. And I think what you're going to see very soon when this other black cloud finally sends a lightning bolt down and a press release with the FLW-MLF thing, you are going to see some guys go, meh, I'm not fishing the FLW Tour anymore. I've heard multiple things on how MLF will do FLW. I can't talk a lot about what I know as far as how they're treating sponsors, but they're interesting. They take an interesting approach to business, I'll put it that way. But I've heard that they're going to cut the field to a really small field, and then I've heard they're going to keep it at 150. So I've heard both. They're going to mix in that MLF format that everybody likes so much, and I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about it until it happens, and then you'll get a reaction out of me. But you will see guys leave the FLW Tour that have been longtime FLW faces that will just go fish the Opens. They'll fish two division of the Opens to try to get into the Elite Series. If I'm Bassmaster, I pick me out about 10 guys from the FLW Tour that are the best at social media, the best at catching them, the top guys, and I straight up send them an invite tomorrow to the Elite Series. They did it last year. They opened it up. They invited some guys to help fill the field up. I think they got to do the same again this year. I would. Don't be proud. Don't be too proud. And I know the anglers, the Bassmaster guys might not want to hear that, you know. But, hell, a guy you invited last year won Angler of the Year. He won Angler of the Year. He didn't qualify. Granted, he's qualified, right? More than qualified. But he didn't qualify for your trail the way your qualifying standards were. And desperate times call for desperate measures. And you opened it up in the only way you knew how. And it was a great thing, what they did. And they got some big personalities, and they got some great anglers and all that. But I feel like those guys can't say, we don't want anybody else being invited. You got to qualify. Because they did it last year. They did it last year. I think you picked 10 guys. I think if you're Bassmaster right now and you don't want Scott Martin on your deal with all his subscribers and followers and all that over there bringing out those eyeballs to Bass, you're crazy. I'm crazy, man. I think if some of the BPT guys want to step out of BPT, say the heck with that, and they want to come back, I think you open up the door. I think you do, man. I think you do. This is my opinion. It's my opinion. There's a lot of really good guys fishing the Elite Series, a lot of great anglers, a lot of great personalities. There's a lot of the young guys and the new guys I don't know, other than the FLW guys. I follow some of them on social. I'm getting to know them in the industry, but I don't know them well. And I think if they got an opportunity to plop some more big names back in there a little bit more, I think that's smart. That being said, I've talked about it on here. They survived the haymaker and then some. And then some. They had the best year of any fishing organization out there, in my opinion. They got just as much press as they always do. Their weigh-ins were packed. The Classic will be huge. It will always be the Classic. I've said it a million times. I won't sit here and rant on about it for 20 or 30 minutes. But they had a great year, and the AOI event was huge. The Opens will be full next year because of the Elite Series and because of the Classic. If you give me a 1 in 200 shot and I buy an $1,800 raffle ticket, and if I have me a good 3 days, I get to go to the Bassmaster Classic, I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. If my schedule allowed it, even stepping away from the tour, four tournaments, I wouldn't mind going and fishing some Opens. I'm not crazy about their schedule. For me personally, I'm not crazy about that schedule, but yeah, it's a good tournament trail, man. So long way around to answer KC's question, what did I think about the entry fee increase? And look, let's be honest, everything is a business in fishing, in tournament fishing. It's a business. And you want to offer up more Elite Series spots, you see what you can get away with. You see what you can charge, and that's what they're doing. It's just like FLW this year. They jacked the BFL entry fees up, and it was a terrible idea, and the BFL participation went down. TH Marine BFLs, by the way, hashtag TH Marine team. But they jacked up the prices, and the participation fell. It fell. So, but they did it in the Costas, and the Costas were, they were pretty good. The Southern Costas anyways. So, I think Bass, they got that carrot they're going to dangle out there, the Classic always, and I think people fish. So, to answer the question, I think they can charge what they want. I do. I think they can charge what they want, and I think there's always going to be guys that want to take that next step, and you don't have to qualify for the Open, so you can just pay your money, and you can tell everybody, you fish the Bassmasters. And there's a lot of guys out there, right, wrong, or indifferent, that like to say, yeah, I fish the Bassmasters, whether they're they do whatever for a living, or whether they're even trying to make the Elites, or whether they've ever even caught a bass, they can pay $1,800 and say they're a bass pro, and that's what a lot of people want to do, and that's what they'll continue to do. So they can that's a good format for that. Now, do you have a bunch of people in there, stabbing, fighting for to climb to the top and make it to that next level of professional bass fishing and try to make a living doing it? Abso-friggin-lutely. And are the guys that are just out there for a good time probably going to get train wrecked by those serious ones all the time? Yeah, probably. But they're there. They support bass. They support tournament fishing. And some people, they enjoy fishing tournaments at that level, and they got a chance to go to the Classic. So, who cares what their motives are? So, will they be full? Yeah, they will be until the last one of the season. Guys don't like to travel. If a guy looks at it, and after two of them, and they got to go to New York, he fishes the first two, and they got to make that big trip to New York, he's going to look at it financially probably and say, maybe not. Maybe I'm not making that trip. So some participation will fall off over time due to point standings and financial burdens for people. But the Opens will be good. Bass is not going anywhere. Bass is not going anywhere. Had a really good year. So congrats to those guys. Congrats to Ronnie Moore and Zona and Tommy and Davey and Mercer and all those guys and all the brass at Bass. You survived it. You survived it. And I think it was one of the most interesting AOIs ever coming down the pipeline. The Southern boy maintains the lead through the Northern swing and wins it. And I really, I like Canterbury a lot, and he's an amazing angler. My money was on Corey Johnson when they went up north, but Corey had unspeakable mechanical issues, man, and bad luck. He was late at the St. St. Lawrence 7 minutes late because he was in a borrowed boat and the clock was wrong. I mean, just all this stuff kept happening to him that kept him from winning, and it was a dang close race. Close race. Triple Threat's calling in. He's actually texting. Hang on. Got her handled. Got the Triple Threat handled. Speaking of handled, you know what's got ethanol handled? Starbright. Startron. Startron by Starbright. That was a terrible plug. Dang it. Let me start it all over again. You know what's got ethanol handled? Startron. Fine folks at Starbright produce the product Startron that will kick ethanol in the teeth. It's for your lawnmower. It's for your bass boat. It's for your truck. It's for your weed eater. It's for your chainsaw. Ethanol will jack your stuff up. This right here. This right here. This right here will stop it. It'll stop it. It's for all gasoline engines right there. I don't know if you can read that. Probably not. For all gasoline engines. 256 gallons treated just by this bottle right here. Thanks to Startron for supporting Low Budget Live, Not So Live, and Low Budget Live. And the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. Where I'm broadcasting from today. Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. So excited about this. It's a train wreck up here right now. It's a mess. Over here to the right, there's guitars laying everywhere. And still a lot of decorating to do, according to the Triple Threat. But I kind of like it. Kind of like it the way it is. I miss it when I'm not here. Low Budget Live Bar and Grill. Brought to you by Startron. I like it. I like it. Hope everybody has had a good last couple weeks since I've seen you. I have been without my Ranger for the past few weeks, getting ready to sell it, and had to get it refurbished every year. So new carpet, new seats, whole nine yards, and buff it out real good. But it's out at Ranger, getting all that jazz taken care of, and waiting on it to get back so I can sell it. But I've been without a boat, and I've been kayaking. And I actually posted a video Monday this week, kayak video, went out to the little pond and did that. But then last week I went again, and I'm terrible at kayaks. I'm borrowing one from my brother Blake, so thanks to Blake, a little Bass Pro model. And, dude, it's so wobbly and not stable, and it's crazy. And then last week I went to a state park lake. You'll see this video Monday. It's going to drop. Went to a state park lake in my hometown. I fished a bunch when I was a kid. And he had to rent these little aluminum boats when I was a kid. And I've saved up money and I bought me a little trolling motor, a little clamp-on trolling motor for it and a battery. And I'd go out there. And it's where I really learned how to find fish on my own without my dad, you know, and pattern stuff and deal with the weather. And I would just go out there and go out there and go out there. And I did it, you know, for years, went out there. And I have not fished this place, I mean, since I was probably 19, I would say. So I'll call it 17 years. I think I said 20 on the video, but 17. I've been thinking about it a lot. And I caught an 8-pounder out there when I was a kid, but a lot of 4-pounders and, you know, and just decent fish over the years. And they allow you to put kayaks in there now. So last Friday, so hoarse, and you'll see that on the video too, I go out, put this kayak in this lake, my brother's kayak, dude, it's wobbly. And second cast, I caught one almost 8 pounds on a freaking frog in a kayak. It's insane. So be on the lookout for that. It was so much fun. Filming it was even better, but just the whole experience and reminiscing about all the days spent on that lake and my passion for fishing, man. Fishing's just, I've been so on fire for it this off season, and since making my announcement about the tour next year, I'm just looking forward to it just feels good just to go fishing, and I'm having so much fun. You know, the Minnesota trip was awesome, and the last couple just weekends just going kayaking. Been really busy with TH during the week leading up to the show, so I haven't been fishing much, just a couple times here and there. And I'm also getting ready for hunting season, you know, working on some deer lease stuff and So I haven't got to go a lot. I've gone a couple times in the last couple weeks, and that's rare for me. So I normally go a lot more than that. But it's been fun, man. Just strip down, going in the kayak. You know, you just bare bones, strip it down to some basic tackle. You throw a couple rods in there, and you go. But I'm terrible at it. I'm terrible at setting a hook in the kayak on a jig. It's driving me crazy. But, man, that was cool. So I can't wait for y'all to see that video, and I really appreciate all the stinking support on this YouTube venture. And I'm Tanner Lyons, who shot the first traveling circus, which will be out in January. I'm going to wait. I'm going to post it up in January. And almost like a TV show where you film now and you post later. So we're filming now. And I saw some clips from the first one yesterday. And I think he's going to finish that up today. And, man, I cannot wait to get it out there. Cannot wait. But I'm going to wait. For sure. But it's really awesome. Really awesome. Tanner did a great job. Blows my mind how good that dude is. And it's like Austin. There's so many young, talented guys out there with the cameras and with the edits. With the edits on the internet. I sound like my dad. But just doing a killer job. So thanks to those guys for working hard for me. And thanks for TH Marine and Garmin and Ranger and all these folks, StarTron, for supporting that. It's a big deal to me. It really is. And I don't take anybody for granted. I don't have the biggest channel in the world. Thanks to Sixth Sense. I want to throw that out there too. Sixth Sense, we're working on some cool stuff for next year for them. And it's just awesome. So thanks to them again. I know I've thanked them a lot. But, man, without those people, and it's cliche to say, but without those people, none of this exists. None of this exists. So huge thank you to those people, and huge thank you to you guys as this thing grows by the day, slowly but surely. I see it, and I see your comments, and I'm going to try to get back to everybody on every one of them all the time. It's hard to do some weeks because life's crazy. But it's awesome. And I really, really, really appreciate it. And if you have any questions, shoot me an email. Any topics that you want me to talk about on here, whether it be a fishing topic, a music topic, man, anything you want me to chat about, you got questions, you want life advice, I'm the last person you need to take it from, but I'll try my best at it. lowbudgetlive1@gmail.com. lowbudgetlive1@gmail.com. lowbudgetlive, one more time, lowbudgetlive1@gmail.com. If you want to send me an email, I get it right here on this cellular device. lowbudgetlive1@gmail.com. And I'll do my best. Or send me an Instagram message. That's another good way to, you know, to reach out. I don't see all of those. I get a lot. I don't see all of them. And I don't respond quick enough a lot of times on those. Facebook, I'm terrible. If you send me a Facebook message, I apologize. Half the time I don't see them until they've been in there 2 or 3 weeks. And sometimes I don't even see them. So lowbudgetlive1@gmail.com. You can get a hold of me right there. Send me your questions, send me your topics. Next week, probably do a low budget live early in the week. And then it's headed down to Cape Sandblast, Florida with the Duncan crew towards the end of the week for a little fall break action. The kids get fall break, which I never got when I was a kid, so whatever. Fall break. We're going down to the beach for a couple days. Hang out, going to fish with my buddy Michael Cowart down there, do some red fishing. And Hudson's birthday is next week. My little man, West the Best, Weston, his birthday was last Thursday. So going to celebrate down there with those guys. Can't wait. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Check out this kayak video I got coming. Catch a great big one in a kayak. I promise you, it was as awesome as it looked. I was screaming and hollering like a dang little old kid. and just genuine emotion. Love it. Love this sport. Love everything about it. Thank y'all. Send me messages. Sorry for not being on last week. Hope I answered, you know, all the questions you had about the Bassmaster Opens and the Angler of the Year Championship. Also going to try to get a couple guests on next week, too, so it's not just me rambling. But thank y'all so much. I'm going to take you out with a little bit of Luke Duncan. And we can talk about that for a second, too, as we're closing out. Music copyright is very tricky, and I like to start the show with music, so why not mine? Have a good weekend, everybody.
Go out there and the fish are where you think they are. Any one of these casts could be the bite. It's the most exciting fishing that I know right here at Hawks Cave.
Oh, that's awesome.
Experience the best saltwater fishing the world has to offer. Don't miss Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lifts, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.